Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
If you got your Bible, let's hold it up and let's make our confession of faith. Do you know before anything is done in the kingdom of God, you got to say it? Before God can do it, you have to say it? Oh, that's worth coming to church. I don't know if I believe that. You had to ask to be forgiven before He could forgive you. You had to speak out repentance before He could save you. God can do nothing until we say something. So let's say what we want God to do in our service right now. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. One more time, can you give God praise? Lord, we just love You. We just thank You, Lord. We just magnify Your name for what You're going to do here today. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, open your Bible to the New Testament, would you please? And the guys won't put the scripture up yet, but I want to get you there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're talking about legacy. And today I'm going to lay down the foundation for the whole month. We do a series every month, and we do that intentionally. Because those of you who are educators, you know that we learn through repetition. We learn through repetition. We learn through repetition. We learn through repetition. And so that's why we do series every month, because my job is to take you on a spiritual journey. That's my job as your pastor teacher, to take you on a spiritual journey, to help you grow spiritually. So we teach in series, and so now we're launching, we did last night for this whole weekend, a new series for December called Legacy, Legacy, Legacy. Pastor, why would you talk about legacy? Because I think all of us want our life to count. All of us want our life to matter. We won't go to a church that we don't feel like we count or matter or important. I think that's an instinct and need that God gave every human being. We need to know our life matters. We need to know our life will count. So because of that need in your life, I want to talk to you all month about legacy. Now, I looked the word legacy up in Webster, and Webster's definition of legacy simply means anything handed down. Anything handed down. That's legacy. Anything handed down. So a lot of different definitions for legacy. And if you would ask, if I would go out in the lobby today and listen to our Charlie Brown Christmas music with a free or complimentary coffee and cookie, you know, if I asked you, what does legacy mean to you? I'd get different answers. Legacy to some people, the definition is what you are known for. What you are known for. I want to ask you a question to get you to think. What are you known for? When people think of you, what do they think? In one word definition, how would people describe your life? Should the Lord tarry at your funeral, what are you going to be known for? That would be your legacy. So Webster says a legacy is anything that's passed on down to the next generation. Others have said, and we have heard, that legacy is what you will be remembered for or what you will be known for. The definition that I want to highlight this month is this, that legacy is what you and I pass on down to the next generation. What you and I pass on down to the next generation. Now, if you're a note taker, here's a powerful thought that you and I can't pass down what we don't possess. We cannot pass down what we don't possess. You do not reproduce what you want. You reproduce what you really are. You do not reproduce in your children what you want them to be. You reproduce in them who you really are. I can't pass down what I don't possess. I can't reproduce what I am not myself. Another one-liner that amplifies it is, I can't give what I don't live. I can't give to my children and my children's children and the next generation what I don't live. I can't give what I do not live. So the definition that we land on for this month on legacy, and I think it's going to be the greatest month of the whole year, we're going to end strong, is that what we pass on down to the next generation. And I just want to state our culture right here is that Church on the Rock is what you would call in the church world a generational church. We are a generational church. What do you mean, Pastor? We accept people of all generations. Some churches, all they want is young people on the platform, young people in every position, and they don't want to include old people at all. And then there are other churches that you've been and I've been at that they don't want young people because millennials frustrate them. All they want is old people. Here at Church on the Rock, we want all generations. We are what you call in the church world a generational church. Now, I base that on Scripture because in the book of Genesis, God is related and referred to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and who? Jacob. That is three generations, my brother and sister, and my newfound friend, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God. He's a generational God. So if we're going to be a New Testament church, if we're going to be a Bible-believing church, if we're going to be a Christ church, if we're going to be a God church, then we have to be a generational church. And that's why we, folks, intentionally, I require all ages on the platform. I require all colors on the platform. I require all ages on the platform. I have for 36 years. I require all ages of ushers. I don't want just old ushers or young ushers. I want men and women of all generations and colors and ethnic backgrounds as ushers. I want them as door greeters. I want them in the children's ministry. I want them in the nursery. I want them in all of our over 100 ministries. I want them on our dream team. Why, Pastor? Because it's not a fad or a fashion. It's biblical. It's biblical. That we go ahead, give the Lord a good praise. So one of the things that sets us apart of all the other churches on our street and all over the city is we are a generational church. We base it on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, trigenerational. And you reproduce what you are. So if we want people of all ages, then we've got to put people of all ages in every ministry of this church. Amen, church. So we do that, pray about that, be a part of our dream team, go through Growth Track because you are needed at Church on the Rock. You have a ministry and a function, and you are needed here for us to fulfill God's destiny for our church. So we're talking about legacy is passing down something to the next generation. So I want to ask you another question. I want to get you to think, what are you passing down? What are you passing down? The first question to get us to think was, what will people remember you for? What will be the one word that will describe you at your funeral? The second question is, what are you passing down to the next generation? Many people aren't passing down anything, by the way. They're self-centered. They're self-content. It's all about them. Many people don't even care about the next generation. They're just focusing on their four and no more. God wants you and I to be generational. And so that means God wants you and I to think legacy. What will we be remembered for? What are we passing down to the next generation? Now, I think it's important legacy, and I know you do too, or you wouldn't be a part of our church family. And I think it's important, you know, I believe in material things. I think it's cool how, you know, all of us have family heirlooms that have been passed down. Think about it now when I'm going to tell you a story for the next 5 minutes. But I want you to identify with my story and think about your story. I think it's awesome, you know, natural heirlooms. I think they're cool, and I think it's good. You know, Kim and I, we watch this home network on TV where the Caribbean homes and beachfront homes and international homes, you know what I'm talking about? And we like to watch this because we like to dream. Amen. We're dreamers. So the other night we were watching, it was called Beachfront Homes on television, and this family had bought a vacation home at Cape Cod, and they bought it and they paid $4 million for it. It was their vacation home. And the father said, we are purchasing this home at Cape Cod, and we have no problem paying $4 million because it's what he said. He said, it's going to be in our will that it's going to go to our kids. They can't sell it. And it's going to go to our grandkids. He said, it's going to be our legacy to our grandkids. I thought that is cool. That's awesome, right? We all pray we could be in that family. Amen. And that's awesome. And, you know, I think that's good to pass down natural heirlooms. You know, I have my grandfather's shotgun. I mean, you know, that was cool. When he passed away, you know, my mother gave me his shotgun. And I keep it. It's a keepsake. And even more than that, I have my great-great-great-grandfather who lived in Springfield, Missouri, fought in the Civil War. I have his musket. It's unrestored. It's not been restored. I have his musket. It's been passed down from my great-great-great-grandfather who fought in the Civil War. It was the musket he used, and it has the date on the side of the musket. It's cool. It's cool. You know, Pastor Kim, you know, she's thinking about, you know, for our granddaughters passing on dolls to them and our Bibles and different books. And I think that's cool. You know, even today, right here on my wedding ring finger, this is my dad's wedding ring. This is the wedding ring my dad had in 1943 when he got married to my mother. And when my dad passed away in 1981, my mother said, Dave, I want you to have Dad's wedding ring. And so that's a great heirloom. You know, it's vintage. It's cool. It's my dad. It's passed on. That's awesome. And as I was preparing for this sermon, you know, yesterday afternoon, finalizing it, I thought, you know, how cool. You know, my mom and dad, when my dad passed away, he didn't give me a whole lot of material heirlooms. Basically, the only thing that my father gave me in the natural was the wedding ring, and then also he gave me his Bible. My mother gave me my dad's Bible. And so I thought, you know, it's great. Legacy, I'll pull it out as a visual aid. And I'm gonna teach out of it all this series on legacy. Because in the natural, you know, my mom and dad, when my dad passed away in 1981, he had just gone that previous week to Kmart and bought a freezer for their garage. And when he died Memorial weekend, and we went up to help arrange for the funeral, my mom said, Dave, could you take the freezer back to Kmart? Because I don't have enough money in the bank to make it through the week. So my dad, you know, and the natural, the only thing I have as his materially is his wedding ring and his Bible. He gave me something much more important. He gave me faith. He gave me spiritual gifts. Faith, legacy in Christ, right? That's really the spiritual is more valuable than the material. And so I pulled this out. Now, I've been working on this series for 3 months. And so it wasn't like I was last minute yesterday trying. But I thought, you know, I pulled this out. And I showed it last night, and Steve read from it. It is right here over to the side. You can see there's some writing there in my dad's Bible. And this is the text I'm teaching from all month. And right here at the top, Gene, it says, Dave's first sermon. This is my dad's handwriting. Dave's first sermon at Mason City, Iowa, June the 17th, 1978. That was my first sermon out of Bible college, and my dad was there. It was in June 17th of 1978. My dad wrote in his Bible, Dave's first sermon, this text I'm teaching to you the whole month on legacy. How cool is that? So you know, we all have, and I think it's great, we all should have heirlooms in the natural realm we pass on down to our children and our children's children. I think that's cool. But I want to talk about something much more important than anything in the material realm. I want to ask you, what are you going to pass on spiritually to your children and your children's children? I think that's the most significant and the most important is that spiritual legacy that we're passing on. That's much more important. You know why? Because the ring will rust. The Bible, the paper will wither away. Everything that's material will rot and rust and be ruined and pass away. But what you and I leave in the spiritual realm, the spiritual legacy will be eternal. Your faith is eternal. What we give in the natural, that's good, that's wonderful, these heirlooms, but they won't last, my brother and sister. But what you and I give as a legacy in the spiritual realm to our children and our children's children, that is eternal. And that's what I want to focus on. Is that okay with everybody? So I want to talk about that the greatest thing that you and I can pass on to the next generation is our life of faith. How to walk in faith, how to trust God, how to believe God. Our faith is the greatest legacy we can leave to the next generation. And let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to the scripture, 2 Timothy. You ready for Bible? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now, I want you to notice there are three generations here. Three generations. And we serve a God of what? Three generations. The God of who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we as a church, if we want to be a God church and a Christ church and a New Testament church, we've got to be focusing on three generations. We've got to be generational, and we got to be intentional on what are we passing on spiritually, because that's the only thing that's eternal, to the next generation. And we are to pass on our faith in God. What it means to walk by faith. What it looks like to have faith in God. Am I communicating this morning, church? All right, so look here, three generations, and you're going to see that Paul's talking to Timothy, and Timothy's a young pastor, and Paul is reminding him, don't forget your legacy. Paul's reminding him, don't forget your legacy, because Timothy, the faith that you have was first in your grandmother. And then it was passed on down to your mother, and now it's passed on down to you, Timothy. Folks, I don't think we should forget our spiritual legacy. Who went on before us? Whose shoulders are we standing on today? Who planted the seeds for the trees that we're enjoying the shade of in our life? So look at the progression. When I call to remembrance, so my brother and sister, we shouldn't forget, my newfound friend, we shouldn't forget. Oh, material heirlooms are great. You know, they're awesome. You know, I have every week taken out of my check, Gene, I've done it for years, and Gene, I know you're like this. I've done it for years. I have an education fund for all my grandchildren. And I have it automatically taken out of my check. I never see it every week that goes into a fund for their future, my grandchildren. That's wonderful. I think we should do that because the Bible says that a good man, a good woman, leaves an inheritance to their children's children. Amen, church. That's why God wants us blessed. That's why I teach at every offering a scripture, a principle. That's wonderful, but that's not the greatest thing that I could leave them. The greatest thing that I could leave them is my faith in God. Why, Pastor? Because, my brother and sister, we can't please God without faith. So look what he says. When I call to remembrance the faith that is in you, Timothy, first, everyone say first. First, it was in your grandmother. Oh, my goodness. And then it was in your mother, Eunice, and now it's in you. What is that? Grandmother, mother, son. Three generations. What are they talking about? The most important thing, faith. Why faith? You and I can't get saved without faith. You and I can't get healed without faith. You and I can't receive God's favor and promotion and blessing without faith. You and I can't go to heaven without faith in God. Without faith, we can't please God. So the greatest legacy, the great, 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 greatest legacy that you and I can do is leave our children and our children's children a spiritual legacy. Let me talk to you about my grandmother. And many of you are here and online because of your grandmother. Come on now. Or your mother, or your father, your grandfather, or an uncle. You know, my grandmother, Grandma Blunt, they told me she died when I was 5 years old. But I can remember her on the farm in Leon, Iowa. That's a southern on the border of Missouri and Iowa. And that was their farm, the Blunt Farm. And they told me, and I've got pictures of this in my office at home, that when I was just a baby, Grandma Blunt would carry me around in her arms, praying in tongues over me as a baby with diapers, carry me around that farm in southern Iowa. That she would pray in the Spirit. She would pray in tongues over me. I believe the faith that was in her, then that was in my mother, is in me today, in my children, and my children's children. And I believe I'm here because of those prayers. I was in diapers. I can't remember her praying in the Spirit over me. I can remember her praying as I got older. And then they told me that when I was 5 years old, she passed away in a little Pentecostal church right there in Leon, Iowa, southern Iowa, border of Missouri, on a Sunday night, my grandmother. This is my legacy. This is my heritage. She passed away on a Sunday night, and here's what they told me, that it was during praise and worship. Man, I'd like to go during praise and worship instead of a hospital or a nursing home. You see, if we'll have faith in God and trust God to the end, God will never end your life on a negative. God's will is not to lend our life on a negative. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And yes, I have had relatives who have died in the hospital and died in nursing homes and died in car wrecks. And I understand all that, but that's not God's best. I want His best. My grandmother died in church. I vote for that. Yeah. So if you see me fall over and I don't get up, it's not slain in the Spirit. My spirit is gone, baby. It's gone. So she died on a Sunday night, and they said it was during praise and worship, and she had her hands raised, and she was seated in the pew, and it said that during praise and worship, they saw her just kind of lean over. She didn't convulse. She didn't jerk and jump. She didn't roll on the floor. They said she just kind of just sloped over and just passed from this world to the next world. I want that. That's part of my heritage. That's the legacy. That's my grandmother. And then notice his mother. Well, my mother, she's in heaven. And when I think of my mother, when I remember her, I think of the Word. That's where I got my love for the Word, was from my mom. My dad was a praying, godly man. His saying was prayer. But when I think of my mother, I think of the Word. She always had the Bible out on the kitchen table, reading it with a devotional. She was always sending me scriptures. So the faith that was in my grandmother, the faith that was in my mother, is in me today. Wow. Passing on to the next generation. What are you passing on? What is your legacy? What will you be remembered for? How are we imparting to our children and our children's children about how to have faith in God Because that's the greatest legacy that we can live before and leave to our children, our children's children. Am I communicating today, church? I'm not going to give very far, but I'm laying a foundation. And I think you understand where we're going this month, because this is going to be the best month of the whole year. Amen. Because you and I want to end the year strong. And you and I want to go to a new level next year in our impact, in our impartation, and in our legacy. Amen, church? Glory to God. All right. So we see here the three things. So what was passed on? Her faith. So let's go there. Go with me in your Bible. The guys will have it on the screen to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. So if faith is the greatest legacy that we can leave to the next generation, then how do I live by faith? So let's look at it. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, y'all with me, family? But without faith, it's what? Impossible. But without faith, so I've got to pass on more than family heirlooms. Nothing wrong with that. I think that is cool. That is wonderful. But the most important thing is we should pass on our faith. Because without faith, our kids' kids, our friends can't please God. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So he that cometh to God must believe. See, we need faith for two things. Faith in God, number one, for a relationship with God. I'm sure you're like me. I've had enough ritual. I've had enough rules. I've had enough routine going out my ears about church. I want a relationship with God, and so do you. And that's my job, is to help you know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference with your life. And that's what I'm talking about the whole month. We're right on point. We're right on our purpose. I haven't swerved. I haven't gone astray somewhere. I'm helping you make a difference with your life through focusing on legacy. Legacy. So without faith, it's impossible. So I need faith. Number one, if you're a note taker, two words, letter R, letter R, letter R. I need faith to have a relationship with God. Wow. And then number two, it says you got to believe that God is and that He is a rewarder. Oh, I like that. He's a rewarder of them that seek Him on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock like y'all are doing. So two things. I need faith to please God, to know God. That's relationship. Number two, to receive His rewards. Relationship, rewards. Relationship, rewards. Relationship, rewards. I want my kids to know both sides of God. I want them to have a relationship with God, and I want them to know He's a good God. And if you put Him first, you seek Him, He'll bless you. He'll reward you. He's a good God. He's not out to hurt us, harm us. He doesn't put sickness on us. He doesn't put failure on us. That God's will is for us to succeed spiritually. Spiritually be successful. What does that take? Faith. Now, we're not going to have time today to elaborate, but let me just give you three principles on how you live by faith as the team comes out and how you walk by faith. And what does it mean then? What does faith look like? Because family, I've been in church for a half a century, and a lot of Christians don't know how to walk by faith. They really, truly don't. All you have to do is listen to them for 5 minutes, and you know they don't know how to walk by faith. They don't know God because they blame God for lack and sickness and heartache and wars and prejudice and racism and abortion and incest, alcoholism, habits, hang-ups and hurts. They're blaming God. They don't know God. They're not living by faith. They don't know that God is a good God, that if you're sold out to Him, He's sold out to you. Just listen to Him talk. Are you with me, family? So don't just assume, well, everybody knows. I've been in church for a half a century. And most Christians, excluding Church on the Rock, don't know how to live by faith. Amen? So let me give it to you real quick. 3 points. Here's what faith looks like. Number one, faith believes it when it can't see it. Faith believes. Faith is believing when you don't see it. That's the first. And we'll elaborate next weekend. But am I helping anybody today? Faith. If I'm in faith, the greatest thing I can do is teach my children and my children's children how to live by faith. Because without it, you can't please God or receive from God. And it's eternal. It will outlast any family material heirloom. So I have to teach the next generation and pass it on down. Sunday school, children's church, nursery, youth group, tonight, Inspire, our college, Southeastern University, our seniors ministry, all of our outreaches. I've got to teach people how to live by faith. And what does that look like? Number one, faith is believing when you don't see it. You know what I see on Sunday, I see this place, every seat full, every parking spot full. I see the rest of the subdivision knocked down for more parking. I see expanding our border. I see it. I believe it, even though I don't see it in the natural. I saw you before we were ever here. In the North Campus, faith is believing when you don't see it. I used to say, before we were on television, before we had cameras, I would speak. I say, ushers, don't trip over the cameras. We had no cameras. We didn't have a TV ministry. What is that? Faith is believing even though you don't see it. And my brother and sister, even if it doesn't happen in my lifetime, the dream that God gave me and Kim, that there'd be a world-class church in St. Peter's, Missouri, there would be a role model to the world about generational and diversity. Even if it doesn't happen in my lifetime, it will in the next, in my children and my children's children. Come on, let's give God a praise for what He's doing in your life. Number two, what does faith look like? Faith is obeying when you don't understand it. Faith is you obey when you don't understand it. Well, I have to understand it before I obey. You'll never obey God. You'll never walk in God's best. Well, that's just hard for me. No, it's not. Oh, yes, it is, Pastor. It's just hard. I can't obey God until I understand. Faith is you obey even when you don't understand. I don't understand that when you give God 10%, He makes the 90% go further than the 100. I don't understand that. I don't understand that He says that you increase by giving. I thought you always increase by keeping. I don't understand it. I don't understand why a brown cow can eat green grass and produce white milk. But I enjoy it this morning with my oatmeal. Amen. Y'all with me, family? So what does it mean? If we really care, and we do, about the next generation, then we have to pass on. Material heirlooms are great, but there's got to be something more important, spiritual. And how to live by faith, how to walk by faith. What does that really mean? It means, number one, faith is believing when you don't see it. Number two, faith is obeying when you don't understand it. And number three, we're about ready to go have coffee, cookies, and Charlie Brown Christmas music. Amen. But number three is this. Faith keeps persisting when you don't feel like it. Boy, we've got to teach our kids that even when you don't feel like it, you got to step up to the plate. Come on, somebody. Faith is persisting even when you don't feel like it. Don't quit. No matter how long it takes, or what it looks like, or what you feel like. Faith keeps persisting, even when you don't feel like it. Because my brother and sister, here's what I know. If you and I will hold on to our faith and trust in God to the end of our life, real faith, real legacy, our life won't end on a negative note. That we'll go out strong, leaving a lasting legacy, making a difference with our life. To be continued next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Y'all get something? Give Jesus all the praise, would you? Come on, let's thank Him for His word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.